Welcome all to K-Drama School. I'm your host, Grace Jung. If you're watching this on video, you can see that I am wearing a Wegmans cap. This was what my mom used to wear when she went to work there. She used to work for their sushi department in the kitchen, and she would wear this. And I went to Wegmans in Montvale, New Jersey, which is not too far from where my parents live. And it's a really impressive market. It is. It's very spacious. They have good product. Their prices are reasonable. It is crowded in there, but because they built it in a very spacious sort of way, it didn't feel overwhelming. Like when I go into Ralph's and it's crowded, or when I go to Whole Foods and it's crowded, it's like a nightmare. But here it was all right. So that was interesting. You guys, I'm leaving New York in 7 days, and I don't know. A part of me is freaking out. A part of me is like losing my mind. I'm moving again, you know? I just moved out of LA and back to New York, and I've been here 3 weeks. Well, 2 weeks so far. It's going to be 3 weeks by next week, and I'm out of here again. Hitting the road again. I mean, the thought of that, oh my gosh, it's so much. And did I achieve all of the things that I set out to achieve during the couple of weeks here? Not really. I mean, I got started on my syllabi. I found a bunch of, you know, books and folders and papers and such that I would probably need when I teach my literature course. So that's good. But my gosh, it's overwhelming, okay? Moving is overwhelming. Working on a syllabus is overwhelming. I think, you know what? I'm just whining a lot. So let's just end it there, all right? It's fine. Everything's okay. I ate a lot of good seafood this week. Thank you. Yeah, I made crab with my mom, had shrimp. I also had clams today and sushi. Yeah, my mom made the sushi, actually. It was pretty good. I was like, oh, shit, you know how to do your thing. Yeah, it's been not a bad time, you know? I'm sort of just treating this as, a staycation at my parents. And, you know, they're living, an easygoing life as, you know, senior citizens. And, yeah, it's not a bad life. It's the kind of life that I would... it's the kind of life that I strive for. It's like that. I wish that's my standard at all times. Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm going to end up in Wisconsin. Yeah. You know, what is it about living in a particular place and how that makes a person feel? Why was I so caught up and identified with space and location? What was that about? Because, you know, yeah, okay. I lived in New York. That's true. And, you know, I went to the Palisades Center Mall recently, which is the mall that is near my home in Rockland County. And it's empty. Yeah, nobody wants to go there because it's one of these failed businesses as a mall. A tremendous failure in America because it's massive. And it's their Lord and Taylor is gutted out. It's empty. There's so many shops that are just empty. So they fill the space with the ice rink and a rock climbing space. In any case, in that mall, I saw a booth, you know, one of those, you know, it's not a store, but a, what do you call it? A pop-up sort of market stand. Let's call it a stand. And it's a dude selling New York paraphernalia, New York Yankees hats, New York jerseys, New York t-shirts, and, you know. And below it, there was a huge sign that proudly and quite aggressively stated, New York is a nationality. It was just so bold. And I'm all right, take it easy, all right? You know. And I was just wondering, what is it about New York and why do New Yorkers, I mean, first of all, who even says New Yorkers? Why do people living in New York, not even people living in New York, if you go into Manhattan, do you have any idea how much advertisement there is for the city of New York? like calling it like the best city, the proudest city, the most unbelievably unbreakable city. So many signs, just like rah, rah, New York. Why? What is that about? Because it's not like New York needs cheerleaders. It kind of doesn't. It's like the city speaks for itself. It's like one of the biggest cities in the world. It's like the most coveted city in the world. It's like the city that everybody wants to go to. And yet it has this like need to constantly advertise itself and its greatness and how tough it is and how it's a place where you need to learn to tough it out. Like you gotta survive in that city. Like why? You know, I look at how much energy goes into just maintaining a home in New York, a puny-sized home that costs an unbelievably exorbitant amount of money, and how much people have to work, like the hours they have to work and the environment that they need to work in, you know, not just work, but live in. Yeah, it's a tough city, because literally the city's trying to kill you at all times. So, like, maybe that's why, like, they need to cheer themselves up all the time. It's like gaslighting themselves. They're gaslighting themselves into thinking and believing that the best way to live is that, like, an extreme waste of energy. And I say this as a proud New York native. In any case, that was interesting. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out like what is my hang up on that identification thing, identification with location, you know, because again, even though I grew up in New York, like I grew up in like very strange parts of New York. Yeah. I grew up in like Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. That's like a very like right wing, like Republican part of Brooklyn. Not that my family's Republican, no, like fucking full on Democrats. I'm so left that I'm not even a Democrat. I'm like not even, I'm registered, but like not Democrat, not Republican either. So what is it about that? Like, why am I so caught up in like the identification with location thing? And I think it has to do with Manhattan and all its fucking advertisements saying New York is the best. New York's the best. New York's the best. Yeah. Even when I moved to LA, I'm like, New York's the best. New York's the best. Like, I sounded like a psychopath. I sounded like a crazy person. It's like, get over New York, bitch. Like, you're not in New York no more. Well, I am right now, but you know, it's like, yeah, just stop it. We need to chill. We need to chill with like the rah-rah New York thing. We really need to speak on the reality. Like, New York is like an insane place to live. Yeah. Like, my friend who makes $500,000 a year says he's struggling. All right. What's her face? Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She's like a multimillionaire earning TV star. Like, she comes from money as well. And yet she complains about how expensive New York is. With all that said, I have a friend who is an artist. She was an artist all her life. From Indiana originally, but she like, you know, went to NYU for undergrad and like, you know, had her college years, and all of her years thereafter in New York. And she is middle-aged, and she bought her first home, her first apartment in the Lower East Side. And it's like one of these like affordable housing situations. Not like, you know, it's not like a tenement or none of that. It's like for like middle class people. People are striving to be middle class. Like, can they own a home? And then they build these units, and then like they're still maintaining sort of that like easygoing, like one bedroom. Like, you can afford one bedroom, like even though you're an artist kind of thing. And she was able to do this with the help of her family, of course. And I was just like, you know, I'm really proud of you. I remember shaking her hand. I was like, I am proud of you. So there's that too. In any case, it's an interesting thing. What's going on with me? Folks, I'm gonna talk about a show this is a like a retrospective, okay? So we're gonna go back. We're gonna go back to something vintage, something old school. And I came across this show, which I know I like mentioned on this podcast throughout like 180 some odd episodes. I remember mentioning it here and there. It stars Chun Do-yeon, and it stars Cho In-sung. Yeah, the young Cho In-sung. Cho In-sung is like, what? Why isn't he in more K-dramas, you know? Like, I saw that he did, like, a Disney thing, but, like, he's, like, a supporting role, so I didn't see him in the first episode, and it's, like, a Disney Plus show, and it was so boring. I'm sorry, Disney Plus. You have shitty taste. Disney, you have terrible taste when it comes to K-dramas. You make amazing musicals. Yeah, I'll watch that, but, like, who's your curator? Who is your curator, Disney Plus? Because whoever is curating your lineup of K-dramas sucks ass, all right? Like, Disney Plus has some of the shittiest, most terrible shows, like, ever. Ever. In any case, this show is not on Disney Plus. This is a 2002 show called Shoot for the Stars. And it is, how do I say, it's like a showbiz K-drama, okay? So it's a showbiz K-drama, and it shows show business, like, from the bottom up, you know? Like, this is what it's like when people are starting from the bottom up, and it's very random. This is how it was back in the day. They'll be, like, walking the streets, and they get scouted, and then they become a star. Like, that's how it went. And that is the truth for many, many actors. Like, for instance, right now I'm watching Midnight in Hagwon or whatever, what's her face? Chung Ryeowon? Yeah. She's a street casting situation. Yeah. Like, she was, like, she was living in Australia, and she was in Korea as, like, an exchange student, or, like, for summer school, or, like, just visiting, and she got scouted on the street, and then she became a K-pop star, and then she transitioned into acting, and she's still acting. So, there that is. This was very common. So many stars got their break. Street cast, and here we are. We have another situation. Like, this show is about a guy who has dyslexia, so he can't read scripts, but he can memorize things. Like, he hears something once, and it's like in his brain. He could, like, memorize things so super easily. So that's his gift, and he starts pursuing acting with this gift. This show is fascinating for multiple reasons because, like, my favorite parts of this show is watching Chun Doyeon interact with Park Sang-myeon. For those of you who don't know who Park Sang-myeon is, he is a comedic actor, trained in theater, like, has good pedigree, but he mostly did comedic roles. Like, he did this show, it was a sitcom called Three Friends. Yeah, so it was him, two other comedic actors, and it was like a sitcom situation. It was very interesting. I loved that show. I watched it all the time. And Park Sang-myeon played, like, the fat, slow idiot on that show. That was his role. But no, homeboy's, he's sharp as a tack. And watching Park Sang-myeon interact with Chun Do-yeon was so fun. And what was interesting about this show, Shoot for the Stars, is, like, watching the simulation, how Cho In-sung's character, the young man who is striving to aspire, as he's an aspiring actor, how this young man is, like, preparing for his life as an actor, and his training is, like, nil. He doesn't have any training, none whatsoever, just a dream, and that's it. So it's already absurd. But how does he simulate acting? He watches his managers. So Park Sang-myeon and Chun Do-yeon's characters end up being his manager. And sometimes the two of them, Park Sang-myeon and Chun Do-yeon's character, they would, like, read and play off of each other. And then you would see Cho In-sung's character, the guy who was there as the star, as the actor, he's watching the two managers. And in the show, Park Sang-myeon's character is somebody who had gone to acting school, trained to be an actor, and failed. And so he's, like, now working as a manager. And there are these, like, very moving moments where like, Cho In-sung's character's watching the two of them read and interact, and he starts crying. He's, like, so moved by the delivery. And I was like, that's fascinating. That's really fascinating. Like, what does that say about, like, like, simulation, you know? How one takes in certain information and then reproduces that. You know, like, what is it for an actor to watch something and be moved and wanting to emulate that when it's happening with two people who are not professional actors? Like, you know, there's something very, how do I put it? Very simple It's like very simple. It's almost like folk. It's folk-like. It's agrarian. It's like old school, pre-modern Korea kind of feel. How is he going to channel that emotion onto the screen when it's his time for him to do the monologue? Is it going to be the same? Obviously not. So the show is working on multi levels. It's showing the absurdity of like people who are talented, ending up as managers. And then him, he's just tall and handsome. He has dyslexia. He can't even read scripts. But because he's tall and handsome and not very talented, like they got him doing his thing. It's just, it, I would categorize this under that genre of like K-dramas about show business, and there are many shows like this, like The Producers, that's one example, right? What's another example? It was just on my radar like a second ago. They have like another one, don't they? Like the one about the agency. I didn't watch that one, but that's like around. Worlds Within, that's another example, So yeah, we got these like showbiz sort of be melodramatic. That's another showbiz one, industry, TV industry related stuff. This show does show its age. Like it's an aged show in that like the villain is like very villainous, No remorse, none whatsoever, like just super evil. And then the quote unquote the good side, they're like over the top pious and moral, and ethics is all about, they're all about ethics and all that shit. It's like, so yeah, that's like early 2000s kind of flavor, right? What else? Oh my gosh, you guys, there's another actress on this show called Byun Chung-soo, and she is a model turned actor. And Byun Chung-soo's been in quite a few K-dramas. Like she was in the one about pasta. I think it's called Pasta, right? The one with Kong Hyo-jin. She was in that. She was in Last Scandal. She was, anyway, she comes from modeling, but in this show she plays like a supporting role, and she's like the lead protagonist, female protagonist's sidekick, and she's hilarious. Especially her interactions with Park Sang-myeon. Like when the two of them are playing, like you can see that it's a lot of it is improvised. It is so good. She is such a goofy, hilarious person. I love her. I wish there was more of her in the world. But anyway, Byun Chung-soo's remarkable on this show. And Chun Do-hyun's great. She's always good. Like she has never not been good. But Chun Do-hyun's career is very interesting too. She was very determined young woman, and I think she started out in television. Oh, one of the early K-dramas that I covered, Star in My Heart. Yeah, Chun Do-hyun was a supporting role in that. Fuck. Yeah, she was number two to Choi Jin-sil. Yeah, and unfortunately, Choi Jin-sil killed herself, and well, there was room for more stars, I guess. But I think Chun Do-hyun made it before Choi Jin-sil killed herself, so it's not like related or anything. Chun Do-hyun was doing movies, like some big time films by then. She won an award at Cannes for her performance in Secret Sunshine, Lee Chang-dong film, and her performance is astounding. So yeah, it was worthy of a Best Actress award at Cannes, and yeah, shoot for the stars. I don't know. I don't have much else to say about this show other than it's like an old school K-drama. Oh my God. Okay, so the evil girl, the evil girl in Shoot for the Stars, she's like fucking batshit crazy. It's just like, oh my God, like somebody help this bitch. Yerin, right? Hong Eun-hee plays this girl named Yerin, and her character is fascinating because, like, I don't know, there's something like borderline-y about her or bipolar. Like she's very like quiet and demure and like such a sweet, tender girl on the surface. And then the moment like any realness happens, like man, the boy does she turn. Watching her flip out, like go that 180 and then start having a meltdown towards the end, that was actually amazing to see. I'm like, I don't know, like give her an award for being a queer icon, you know, because it was just like amazing. It's just she has this like soft voice. She's like so like feminine, and then she just has this meltdown, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like what, it's like, you know, it's like looking at the Grand Canyon, you know. So yeah, Hong Eun-hee, she was also like pretty big, and like, you know, for millennials, like when we were growing up, I saw her quite a bit, but again, always a supporting role and usually playing like an evil bitch, even though she comes off as all sweet initially. She's done a lot of those. And Lee Seo-jin is also on this show. He's playing an evil guy. But Lee Seo-jin is known for doing Yi San, which is like an epic period piece about the king, Yi San. So, really good actor, versatile. But yeah, Chun Do-yeon, Cho In-sung, Park Sang-myeon. What a fabulous, fabulous mix. Yeah. The show isn't like very beefy. Like it's not like full of stuff. It's not very dense, you know. There is drama, there's tears and stuff, but like it's not, I don't know, it's not gonna overwhelm you, all right? It's not gonna like overwhelm your system and make you want to like hysterically cry and like watch something different or like grab for the oxygen tank. You're gonna be okay. It's light, you know, it can be lighthearted. It's funny at times. So yeah, check this out if you want to see a young Cho In-sung, super young, before he got all like sophisticated and shit, you know. Check it out. What else? You guys, check out my books. Yeah, check out K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television. Please leave an Amazon review if you can. If you're listening to this podcast and you like this podcast, please leave a positive review on iTunes, on Spotify. Yeah, what else? Read my book, Delhi Ideology. Yeah, I wrote a novel called Delhi Ideology when I was in my 20s, and it's about a New York City deli. And I visited that deli recently because I was like around Penn Station, and it's gone. Instead, it's a Paris Baguette. Did I already mention this? If I did, I'm sorry. It's such a shock when you see how fast things just change. Like the ruthlessness of the change in New York is just so shocking sometimes. I need time to process it. Other than that, what can I say? I think you're all really great. I think you're all doing really wonderfully. I appreciate your support.